morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to see you this morning. I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. I believe on Monday there will be a new issue of the Valley that will be coming out, and it should have all of our meetings and should have our Holy Week worship schedule in it. It's hard to imagine, but Holy Week is happening at the end of March this year. Kind of crazy how quickly that sneaks up on you. If you are the treasurer of an organization, Lynn Love asked me to remind you to please, please, please get your books to her as soon as you can so she can audit them, because I'm hopeful that we will be having a spring congregational meeting soon, but she needs to audit the books before we can do that. Final announcement is the Women's Association is going ahead with their spring craft show. It will be taking place on Saturday, March 20th in McFadden Hall, I believe from 9 to 1-ish. We were not able to do the spring craft show last year, so we are looking forward to seeing all of the crafters with their spring things this year. Are there any other announcements to share? All right, at this time, I invite you to join with me in our call to worship. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim its righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Friends, at this time I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Praise Ye the Lord, the Almighty. with me now in our prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ, your Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that we are forgiven. Amen. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let's say good morning to one another from our seats.
Thank you.
friends, I have a couple of prayer requests to share with you this morning. The first prayer request is from BJ. She's asking for prayers for her nephew, Aiden. He had an accident on a four-wheeler, and he fractured his pelvis. So prayers for his healing and that he doesn't need surgery. Also, a former member of ours, Patty Hall, is asking for prayers for her health. The final prayer request is a joy. Kathy Enrietto is on the mend, and she would like to thank everyone for their cards and prayers and well wishes while she was out with her arm. That is all I have. You can take it away.
Trusting in God's promises, let us pray for the world and for our needs. God, Jesus, your Son, called disciples to follow his way of sacrificial love. We pray for all pastors and teachers that they lead the church by humble example, take up their cross in faithful service, and live for the sake of the gospel. God, your reign encompasses all the earth. Though many do not remember your gracious sovereignty, we pray for peace among the nations and for integrity within governments, that your will be done on earth as in heaven. God, you hear the cry of the poor and you satisfy the hungry with good things. We pray for the poor and oppressed that they may find deliverance, and for all who voluntarily take up the cross of self-denial to serve the poor and alleviate human misery. God, you know the needs of the afflicted and you hear their cries. We pray for those who suffer illness of mind or body, especially Aiden following his accident, and we pray that surgery is not needed. We also pray for Patty Hall, that they may find relief from suffering and be restored to wholeness. God, we thank you for the joys of experiencing you in our lives, especially as we celebrate Kathy Seggie, as her quarantine is almost over, Kathy Enrietta, we're happy to have her here with us today, and more vaccines, more people in our congregation getting vaccinated, and the approval of a new vaccine. Help us to be ever mindful of the ways you guide us. Grant us these prayers, Holy God, by your grace. Stir up in us the will to seek out your kingdom with the dedication of our lives and ministry to the world. For the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please join me in silence and meditation for our offertory. Thank you.
give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The scripture for today is from Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to come to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So how can you tell if a person is a Christian? Can you tell maybe by the way a person dresses? Maybe by the way they wear their hair? How about what they post on social media? Or maybe by the type of car they drive? Or my favorite, if they have a cross tattooed somewhere on their body. Friends, I wish it was that easy. You actually can't tell if a person is a Christian just by looking at them. Because a Christian is a person trying to follow Jesus in their everyday lives. So being a Christian is more about how a person behaves than how a person looks. This morning, our scripture reading invites us to reflect on what it means to follow Jesus during those difficult moments in life and ministry. During the times when we may feel abandoned by friends and maybe even by God. As we journey with Jesus to the cross, today we're going to look at what it means to take up our cross and follow Jesus. In Mark's gospel, where our scripture reading for today is taken from, I've always appreciated that Jesus is very clear, very upfront with his disciples about where his journey is headed. Jesus is not going to live to a ripe old age. Healing the sick, speaking to the masses, overturning the tables in the temple, then die a peaceful death, surrounded by friends and family. No, he is going to be killed, and then somehow in 3 days, he is going to rise from the dead. In Mark's gospel, it's very clear that Jesus will die because powerful humans reject his healing mission. And other powerful humans reject his challenge to the way that they have always done things. Jesus dies because Jesus refuses to dial down his ministry to save his own life. Like us, Jesus' disciples are not accustomed to this way of the cross. At first, they get angry with Jesus. "You can't be serious, Jesus," Peter tells Jesus. "We've got a good thing going for us here. Why do you want to end it by dying a humiliating death, one that is reserved for lowly, common criminals?" See, Peter doesn't understand that Jesus' ministry is actually bigger than healing, teaching, and prophesying. See, Jesus came to do something that we cannot do on our own. He came to restore the relationship between us and God. And in order to do that, Jesus must die so that we can live. Where there's conflict, where there's tension in this story, is that by our human nature, we want to be prosperous, strong, successful, and influential. But Jesus has other priorities. Jesus invites us to serve, even if doing this is going to put us at odds with the powers that be. Even if our service puts our own life at risk. And when we follow Jesus into the unknown, we will be persecuted by people who don't understand what Jesus is trying to do. I hate to tell you this, but Christian persecution did not end with the cross. It's easy to think of men and women who've given their lives for the sake of the gospel. Thinking of men and women like Martin Luther King Jr., Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Oscar Romero, just to name a few. But I actually don't think our scripture passage for today is encouraging us all to be martyrs. In fact, most of us will not be asked to give our lives for the sake of another. But all of us will be given opportunities to put the needs of someone else above our own, even and especially when doing so comes at a great personal cost to us. All of us are given opportunities to take up our cross and follow Jesus. I want to give you a quick example of what this might look like. So when I was in Kristen's shoes, when I was doing my field education internship, my supervisor introduced me to a congregant named Betty. Betty was a long-standing member of the church I was serving at. And Betty had a teenage daughter named Angel. And Angel has autism. It was incredibly difficult for Angel to sit still in church. She would often get up and kind of roam and pace the aisles of the sanctuary when my field education supervisor was preaching. When she wasn't roaming the aisles, I could hear her playing loudly on her iPad. When my supervisor first told me about Angel, I was a little bit nervous to see how the congregation would react to somebody creating so many distractions during worship. Would they be annoyed because they couldn't follow the sermon as well as they would like to? To my delight, I watched the congregation figure out how to worship with Angel. One member brought in one of those memory foam pillows for Angel to sit on because the church that I was serving in had those really uncomfortable high-backed chairs, and that helped her quit fidgeting so much in church. I saw another church member give her a fidget spinner. You remember those things that spin. So she had something to play with during our long church coffee hours. My favorite example of this, though, was when the church updated their technology in the sanctuary so that it would include a screen and a projector. I remember the worship committee asked Angel if she would run the PowerPoint during the worship service, and that kind of gave her something to do during the service. I'm going to remember that. Now, the congregation's treatment of Angel didn't miraculously cure all of her behavioral challenges. Angel continued to have outbursts from time to time. But it was really beautiful to watch a congregation rally around one of their members rather than cast her off as a problem. I remember Betty telling me that church was one of the few places she felt safe to bring Angel. Because in church, Angel could be who she was. And Betty could get a break from constantly worrying about whether Angel was making someone uncomfortable. Friends, when Jesus invites us to take up our cross and follow him, he's often talking about those everyday moments where we have a choice between doing what is right and doing what is easy, where we can do the hard but life-giving thing that makes us uncomfortable, or we can do the easy, comfortable thing that brings about no change. What I appreciate about our scripture passage for this morning is it reminds us that Jesus never promised that following him would be easy. But part of being a Christian means having faith that the hard parts of following Jesus will be worth it. Now, I'm sure all of you know where the sermon is headed at this point. I think this week our text encourages us to reflect on which cross Jesus is inviting us to bear, and to think about taking one small step towards figuring out what that is. So let's say, for example, you serve on a committee that has been asked to keep in touch with homebound members during this pandemic. But you absolutely, 1,000% hate calling people on the phone. So maybe you send out an email to members that have an email address. Maybe you write out what you're going to say to the two people you are promising you're going to call every week. Even though this is something you don't want to do because it's awkward and you feel uncomfortable, you know that in doing so, you are being faithful to your call to care for the members of your congregation. Whatever you decide to do, just remember that when Jesus says to deny yourself, really what he's talking about here is to figure out if your priorities are in line with Jesus's two greatest commandments. Does anyone remember what those commandments are? Yes, so those two commandments are love God and love your neighbor. So if you are doing something that makes you uncomfortable, but it helps you love God or it helps you love your neighbor, it's probably worth doing. Because ultimately we believe that there is nothing on this earth that compares to new life in Christ. And with that said, we can go from this place excited to do the things we'd rather not, because they help us show our love and gratitude to God, who loves us a whole lot. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Offer a word of blessing as we prepare to go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.